Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to be in love with Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible teaches if we're ashamed of that name, he'll be ashamed of us. There shouldn't be any time of your day, any time of your life that you're not always ready to offer a praise and gratitude unto the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's wonderful when you have sons and daughters of the Amen. King of Kings and the Lord of Lords come into your midst. Naturally speaking, we think about families getting together. You know, on holidays, families come and visit, this and that. But when the Lord Jesus wandered into their midst and they said, you know, your mother, your brother wants to speak to you. And he said, who is my mother and who is my brother? He said, these here is the family. And brothers and sisters, the Bible said we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. And you know, you need to have a brotherhood. You need to fall in love with the brethren. Amen. And learned that what you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you do unto him. Amen. The Bible said, beware when you entertain strangers unaware. Some would be entertaining angels. Amen. And people get on this mysticism and all this nonsense. But let me tell you something. When you entreat a brother that's born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, the angel of the Lord is dwelling in that man. And you need to beware how you speak and how you deal and how you treat. Because what you do unto that man is what you do unto the Lord. People stand before the Lord and they said, you know, I was in prison. You visit my, I said, well, Lord, when was you in prison? What you done to the least, amen. So we want to always, brothers and sisters, be careful. I'll tell you, there's nothing greater, brothers and sisters, you know, than being a child of God. The Bible said that he has given us his spirit, amen, and has given us the power to be the sons of God. You know, I was talking with a Pentecostal minister one time about the sons of God, and he said, well, I don't think I could say that. And I said, well, I tell you what, I thank God that he has given me his spirit, and we are numbered as the sons of God, amen. The sons of God are eternal. We live forever, amen, because we have his spirit. Just coming home from a camp meeting or a conference, spent a week with them. Wonderful time. Good people. Love the Lord. I listened to a message not many months back from a minister. This man of God was ministering and doing some teaching and trying to bring people together. And he said, you know, I've witnessed the Spirit of God in this group of people over here, and I've witnessed the Spirit of God in this group of people. And he said, I find you've separated. You know, brothers and sisters, we're in a day and hour that everybody's trying to bring everybody together. God has put many people apart because two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. And if y'all bear with me a little bit, the Bible said a wise man hears the end of the matter. But I can't put my arm around the Catholic priest downtown and say, this is my brother in the Lord. I can't do that. That would be blasphemous for me to do such a thing. Now, can that man be born of God? Well, if he gets born again, he'll have the spirit of truth in him, and it'll lead him to the truth, and it'll bring him out of false doctrine and error. I believe, and you've heard me say this, I believe there was a day and hour where it'd have to go back hundreds of years past, that the Catholic Church was truly the universal church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they went off into doctrines of men and gone into gross error. But I say, get in the Word. Stay with the Word. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Pray that God would reveal and show you. And the Bible said it's impossible to deceive God's elect. So if you're God's elect, don't be paranoid. You know, hear the end of the matter. But the thing is many times we go and, you know, we want to fellowship this brother and this brother and this one and this one, and we find problems and complications and we find confusion and all these kind of things. I was involved with an evangelistic ministry in Missouri years ago, and they had an evangelistic center, and they had opened up for all these ministers to come all the time and preach. Had every walk of life coming and preaching at different night stuff, and there was people that frequent this. The Bible said that they're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, and I met another Pentecostal minister over here in the Lexington area, and I was speaking to him. He said, brother, I don't preach doctrine. You know, and I'm thinking, well, Mike, you don't have no business preaching. I mean, I don't want to be offensive or anything. Brothers and sisters, we're to be indoctrinated. You know, the Bible says if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. So, brothers and sisters, that means we got to teach doctrine. We got to get in the Word and preach and teach doctrine. That is our calling, and that's what we have to do. Now, the thing is I find that as my journeys through the land, we may say, and through the religious realms of this world, I've gone to foreign fields and foreign countries, and I find that they've got the same problems in Africa and Philippines and Romania and these different places that I've ministered. I find that I'm dealing with spirits. And I find that the spirits in a black man, a brown man, a yellow man, whatever, are all one and the same spirits. They deal with the same spirits that came to steal, kill, and destroy and corrupt. So as we journey, so to speak, I find similar problems and complications throughout the world. And again, I find many people defending denominationalism. We as a brotherhood have reached out to this missionary and evangelistic group of brethren, very large work, but a good group of people. And we reached out to them with the love of God. We've reached out to support the work of God that God has put upon them. We've reached out to help them and show them the love of God and support. But they've numbered me. So it makes it where they won't even hear my voice because they've identified me with something I'm not. The thing is, brothers and sisters, we got to stay with our Bible and the Word of God. I challenged some of the ministers, said, wait a minute, you've all numbered me with something that I'm not. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to read some scripture tonight and lay a little bit of a foundation of some things here this evening. And possibly the Lord will allow us to go into some doctrine tonight. Amen. How many is hungering for the Word? And the thing is I may say something to you tonight that possibly you've never heard. But if it's in the Word, receive it. And if it's something that crosses your spirit, sit for a moment and hear the end of the matter. The Bible says a wise man hears the end of the matter. My intentions tonight aren't to convert anybody to any sect of people. When I was ministering in Africa, I said, hey, I'm not here to convert you to be this or that. You say, are you Pentecostal? Yes, I am. Are you Baptist? Yes, I am. I baptize. The thing is I do that. A brother's come to, with the scripture about Paul, and he said that he came, preached, and this thing. He said he didn't come to baptize. So do we take and say, well, Paul said he didn't come to baptize, so we're just going to get away with baptism. We better stay with the Word of God. Amen. And we find that Jesus is our perfect example. I could take you into the scriptures right now and show you that it says in the scriptures that he baptized more than John the Baptist did. And it was said that he baptized his disciples, and his disciples, the only ones that Jesus baptized were his disciples. But then he said that his disciples baptized more than John the Baptist did. So, you know, I think if it was good enough for the Lord Jesus Christ, and him, that being the last commission that he gave us to do, I think that we should go on with baptism. See, this is where a brother, he took a scripture out of the scripture and said, well, if Brother Paul said that he didn't come to baptize, then why should I? What kind of ignorance is that? That's foolishness. We got to stay line upon line, precept upon precept, and we got to stay with the Word of God. So are you teaching on baptism tonight if the Lord led that way? I'm just using that as an example, brothers and sisters. So oftentimes, I had a woman trying to catch her breath as I spoke one time, and I purposely said it to challenge her in the way that she thought. But she said, Brother Rob, do you believe that the rapture's already taken place? I said, well, yes, don't you? That'd make about everybody want to get up and run. You know, I understand it. I'm not ignorant to that. I would rather challenge somebody in the way they think. Well, Brother Rob, if you told her you believe the rapture already took place, you know, wouldn't that be lying? No, it's not lying whatsoever at all, brothers. It depends on what rapture you're talking about. My Bible says that I've been caught away in heavenly places. Isn't that what your Bible says? That we've been caught up with the Lord Jesus Christ, hid away, sealed in with Him, predestined in Him. What was caught away? There was something raptured, brothers. No, this physical flesh has not been raptured. But I could talk about my spirit dwelling in heavenly places, so I've got enough Bible to talk about something caught up. And I could have told her the rapture is not even a biblical word. So I'm saying some things here to challenge people in the way they think. Because I could say some things tonight and you could be listening and think that you're in disagreement with me. I could say I believe in post-tribulation rapture tonight. And you say, oh man, I know the church is caught out in pre-tribulation rapture. I say, so do I. But then yet, there's Bible. They have Bible, brothers and sisters, for their post-tribulation rapture. Which one are you going to believe? And how are you going to believe it? And you say, well, you sound like you might be confused. No, I'm not confused. I understand God's Word. I want you to turn with me over to the book of Revelation. And I do stand. You know, I'm not a politician. Some of our politicians, you know, they get with the people that believe in abortion. And they'll talk like a pro-choice, I guess you say. And then they get over with people that don't believe it, and then they'll talk like pro-life. And you think, well, is this what you do, preacher? You get with the people that believe in post-tribulation rapture and fellowship them? No. Do you get with the people in pre-tribulation rapture and fellowship them? No. I have an understanding, brothers and sisters. And the thing is if we would understand the Word of God. There's so many things that put people apart. The Assemblies of God and the Church of God are separated because one believes in a sanctification once and for all by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're right. And the other one believes in a daily sanctification, and they're right. You see, brothers and sisters, they both have Bible. The Bible says that we're perfected once and for all and sanctified by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. But then the Bible also says that the fivefold ministry sent for the perfecting the saints. Why would God send a fivefold ministry to perfect saints when He said that He done it by His works at Calvary? You see, we got to differentiate. We got to differentiate, brothers and sisters, the Word of God. You see, Jesus made Himself twain, both Lord and Christ. So what are we? Are we tunas? Because Jesus said he made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man and both Son of God. So what are we, tunas now? Then we go over and read in the Bible and it says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So now we're threeness? And then the Bible says there's just one God. So now what are we, oneness? Are you a oneness, tunas, or threeness? What are you, brothers and sisters? I'm none of the above because I don't have no scripture for any of it. But I believe the Word of God. And I have an understanding of the Word of God. Amen. And so many times as we take on and we adopt things of doctrines of men. And we carry it through our lives and through our ministries and through things. And we just need to get into the Word of God. You see, I was accused of being a oneness to this brotherhood. They said, you're oneness. And I said, I am. Well, why don't you explain to me what oneness is? I said, how can you number me as a oneness when I believe in the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost? I said, you can't call me a oneness. If I believe in the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, why are you numbering me as a oneness? I said, I teach more what you call Trinity doctrine than you teach. But I don't teach it the way you teach it. You see, I'm not Trinity. Show me Trinity in the Bible. Somebody show me that. If I'm called to defend something, I'm called to defend the Word of God. I'm going to defend the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that these three are one. Well, how do you have three and make them one, Brother Rob? It's real simple. But let's go to the Scripture. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation. And we're going to talk about some things tonight. And I know it would take all night to even scratch the surface on the things in my spirit. So we'll just make an attempt. As long as I can find you drawing and hungering a little bit. Revelation. I want to go there to the first chapter of the 8th verse. Bear with me a little bit. I'm not here to convert anybody, brothers and sisters. I'm here to teach. I'm called to teach. The Bible said the ministers be apt to teach. I'm here to teach. We're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of God's Word. We need to have a hunger and thirst for His Word. Amen. We need to be drawing from the Word. Amen. 8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is. Okay, I want you to think about this for me. Which is. Okay. Which is. And which was. And which is to come. Now, which one are you serving tonight? You say all three of them. Do you want to talk about the God that was right now tonight? Do you want to talk about the God that is to come tonight? Or do you want to talk about the God that is? My Bible says that if you do not believe that Jesus is, not was, that Jesus is, not to come, but Jesus is in the flesh, then you're Antichrist. So we need to understand God that was, God that is, and God that is to come. Now the thing is, if I was going to use that scripture right there for a foundation, we're going to go to some other scriptures in a minute. Bear with me. But if I was going to just use that scripture tonight for a foundation, and we talk about this woman, and she says, Brother Rob, do you really believe that the rapture's already taken place? And I said, sure, ma'am, I do. Don't you? You know what? God help me, man. But it was almost comical. And I mean, this gal was backstroking, man. She's saying, got to get out of this place. You know, people got their hope in the rapture. They got their hope, brothers and sisters, in the coming of the Lord. The whole church world's preaching that. Oh, you know, praise God. You know, someday Jesus is coming back for us. And the Bible said, speaks very clearly about this deferred hope sickeneth the heart. Well, don't you believe that the Lord is coming, Brother Rob? Well, I believe He is. I believe He was, and I believe He is to come. Which one are we going to talk about tonight? You want to talk about the one that is to come? What if you're sick in your body tonight? What if you need deliverance tonight? What if you need to get set free? Do you want a God that's going to come? Or do you want one that is? I need a God that is. I need a God that's there in my need. I don't need a God that's going to come when I'm sick. I don't need a God that's going to come when I'm bound. I don't need a God that's going to come when I need delivered. Amen. I want a God that is. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we talk about the God that was, for we could understand the attributes of God, the judgments of God, and the way He dealt with humanity. For we can understand. We can go to the Word of God and look at things as an example. If we read about faith, if we go over and read it in Hebrews 11, and it said, you know, these things are there for examples, brothers and sisters, talking about the God that was. This is how He dealt with mankind. This is what He did. This is how He is. And He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. How come today that everybody has this God that they've turned Him into a wimp? I'm telling you, please hear the end of the matter. The religions of America and throughout the world have made Jesus a wimp. And they've made Him a whoremonger. And you say, oh, but don't say that. Believe me, I didn't call my Lord that. I'm talking about their God. Paul spoke about an unknown God at Ephesus, didn't he? Even though they use the same name, yes, the Catholics will say Jesus. The Mormons will say Jesus. Many brothers and sisters use His name. Just because they're Pentecostal or they write, there's many using the name Jesus. And it's sad to say that they're not all have God's Spirit. The Bible says they stood before him and said, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I laid hands on the sick and they recovered. And he said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. But God, you're an all-knowing God. How can you say you never knew me when you know the numbers of hair on my head? Oh God, but how can you say you're all-knowing, omniscient? How can you say you never knew me? He never had that relationship with you. The marriage relationship. It takes a marriage relationship to bring forth children. You understand that, brothers and sisters? And we're going to do some differentiating tonight. Now, if I ask you tonight, if you were part of the bride of Christ, I think everybody would raise their hand. Is that right?
Amen.
Let's raise our hand tonight that's part of this bride. Amen. It's the bride of Christ. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he says he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Amen. So I want to be part of that. You look at me and say, but you're a man, brother. You're a man. How can you say you're the bride of Christ? And the Bible says the woman is to keep silent in the church. And if you're the bride, you better shut your mouth right now. I say, amen. You say, man, don't try to confuse us, preacher. I'm trying to get you to understand some things. Jesus made himself both Lord and Christ. Which one was he? Was he Lord or was he Christ? Was he Son of Man or Son of God? Which one was he, brothers and sisters? We had to make him twain. Both, it said. There's a lot to be said there. Okay, so I'm Son of Man and Son of God. I'm Son of Man. My Father sits back here. I'm Son of God because I got a Heavenly Father. The Bible said that you were born into the kingdom of God. And the Bible says that there were some adopted. Which one are you? Are you adopted? I got Bible for both these about being adopted in. Okay, and then I've got Bible for being born and birthed into the kingdom of God. Which one are you tonight? There's both. See, we're making twain. One enters in through adoption, another enters through being born. The Spirit is born in the Spirit. When you're born of God, you're birthed in the Spirit. But this old bodily part, this outer garment of iniquity, the part that light is dwelling in, the Bible talks about light dwelling in the darkness. The darkness is the outer garment of iniquity, and it's the part that's grafted and adopted in. The Bible talks about a wild tree by nature. It talks about one being grafted in. It took the real branches and broke them off, having to do with the Jew, and we were grafted in. I'm not going to try to confuse them. I'm speaking to you as unto spirituals tonight. This way we can get established in the Word of God. You know, I'm not speaking to you as just babies, brothers and sisters. And if you're a baby here tonight, we'll pray that enough milk will go forth to suffice you. But we also have to bring forth meat. Amen. So as we start differentiating, you say, man, here's what one of the ministers said to me. He said, oh man, you know, only thing I didn't come with no superior wisdom. Oh man, hallelujah. No eloquence of speech. But I come with just the knowledge of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and wants to mock the Word of God, the meat of God. He's the same one that speaks about not coming to baptize, thinking they have revelation and mock people that teach baptism. Turn over to the 6th chapter of Hebrews for a moment. We're going to take in a couple scriptures here. You want to learn the Word tonight? You guys want to talk about the Bible tonight? Again, I'm not here to try to convert you into something, because I'm sure nothing. I'm the least of any of you. I'm just a preacher and a teacher and try. I'm still growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Chapter 6 of Hebrews. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Are we leaving them? Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms. And laying on of hands. And of the resurrection of the dead. And eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. I would like to go on down into talking about how it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh and put him to an open shame. We can get in some teaching on that. This has been unveiled to us, amen, by the grace of God. I used to be real troubled with that as a young minister. I used to really bother me about that passage of scriptures. What does that mean? But it's really clear and it's easy to understand. And if the Lord would allow us to, maybe we'd go back to it. But we're talking here about if this minister has the right to stand up. Now, I know that Brother Paul said, hey, I didn't come with no superior wisdom or eloquence of speech. But he said, I just come with demonstration of the Spirit of God. I come with this demonstration of power. Is what he came with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Does that mean that we're going to take Hebrews 6 and throw it out here? He said, not laying again that foundation. Not laying again. We come to church and we all want to hear about Jesus and Him crucified. I want to hear about Him dying on the cross. I want to hear about His bloodshed. I want to hear about the resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. I love to preach the gospel, the good news. Amen. And those are the things that are our foundation. But it said not laying again the foundation. When you've heard about Jesus and you've accepted that and you've been baptized in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you've fulfilled what the scriptures and the word says. Why would I want to keep on teaching you those things? It says to go on in the doctrines. That's what we have to do. I want you to go to 1 John 5. I'm going to just read a little bit of scripture. I want you to go over to about the 7th verse tonight. I could back up and read a little bit prior to that. Let me do that. I'll just go up to the first verse and we'll read a little bit. We're talking about understanding tonight, brothers and sisters. There's people that separate themselves from one another because they lack to understand one another. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe that? And every one that loveth Him that begot, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Do we have any overcomers in here? The Bible said He made us overcomers, amen. Hallelujah. We got all authority and power over the world, over the things of this world, brothers and sisters. We got all power and authority to put them under our feet. Nothing, brothers and sisters, could be laid to our charge of God's elect because we got all power. Have you been filled with power? Amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which hath testified of His Son. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not the record that God gave His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a little bit more foundation now. And we're just building upon the Word of God. If I say anything tonight that isn't established or found in the Word of God, I say discarded with all respect. And have enough mercy and love to come to me and say, preacher, you know, I appreciate you, but I got a little lot with you. That's the way the Lord dealt with preachers in the book of Revelation, wasn't it? He said, you know, hey, you've done these good things, you've done this, but I got somewhat ought with you. You allowed Jezebel to preach in your church. I got a little bit of ought with you. You know, you allowed some of this doctrine of Baal to infiltrate your church. Brothers and sisters, the churches throughout the world have allowed an infiltration of satanic spirits. They've allowed an infiltration of immorality and filth. They infiltrate the churches in America. I'm not speaking against the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm teaching about deceiving spirits and familiar spirits and similar spirits. The Bible says a small flock and few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it, is what the Bible says, brothers and sisters. So the thing is if you think everybody that says Lord, Lord, and everybody has a, you know, something going on around out here and calls themselves Christians, and if you really think that they're all born of God, boy, you're going to be sadly mistaken someday. Amen. Homosexuals are not born again. Amen. Homosexuals can be born again, and when they're born again, they receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. They receive His Spirit, and they come away from it. Drunkards, brothers and sisters, are not born again. You understand that? You say, oh, don't take away the grace of God. I'm not taking away the grace of God. Why? The grace is here. They need to get filled with the Spirit of God and overcome the things of this world. Amen. They can overcome alcoholism. They can overcome tobacco when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You can overcome evil surmising. You can overcome lust of the flesh. You can overcome pride of life. You can overcome evil surmising and backbiting. You can overcome talebearing when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, God's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. We're going to read a little bit there, and then I'm going to do some expounding. If y'all bear with me and give me a little bit of help. It's easy to preach to sons of God. Okay, we're going over to what I say, 1 Corinthians 3 here. Let's look right here at this first chapter as a little bit of a foundation again. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spirituals." See, he's having a problem, wasn't he? "But as unto carnals, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." What a reproof. "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Or one's a Baptist and one's a Methodist, one's a Church of God, and one's Episcopalian or and a Tomahawk Indian, whatever! You're carnal." Amen. We're of Christ. That's the only church there is. The Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So we find that the brother's trying to speak to people to bring them word. Said, "Anyone to speak to you is unto spirituals." Now we go back over to 1 John 5 and we find that there's three that bear record in heaven: Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And it said these three are one. We find an earthly witness of a water, blood, and spirit. We go over to Corinthians there and we read in the scriptures. We're not supposed to be laying again a foundation of just repentance. We've got to start teaching some doctrine. One of the doctrines was baptism. There's a baptism of water. There's a baptism of blood. And there's a baptism of the spirit. Amen? And there's a lot of misunderstanding in all. As the man said, he don't believe that it's necessary to be baptized in water. Well, Jesus found it necessary to seek out John the Baptist to be baptized in water. And in the Acts, I believe it's over 19, it said that the Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And then the apostles went to them and said, "Would any forbid these water?" Isn't that what they said? "Would anybody forbid these water?" And it said that they were taken and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the thing is, brothers and sisters, that's why we need to understand baptism. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we say, well, that supersedes everything, so it makes the others unnecessary. No, it isn't that way. And what confirms that baptism to you? What's your doctrine? What's your scripture? Let's talk about baptism for a moment. Let's talk about baptism in the Holy Ghost. There is a lot of difference in doctrines on that topic. I could call some names tonight. I could talk about UPC. I could talk about the Apostolic Church. I could talk about the Assemblies of God, the Church of God. I've been involved with many of these people, and they're good people, all of them that I named. Some of the UPCs and like the Assemblies of God, they have a division of doctrine because one calls himself a oneness and another one calls himself a Trinity. Well, the Trinity say Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, so do I. The oneness say Jesus only. The Bible said there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. That's it. There's only one name given to us for salvation. All right, I got to go to one more scripture before we could really go on. I'm just to make sure y'all grounded in the Word here tonight. Is it okay to use the Bible? Because I don't care what I got to say. It's what the Word has to say. And I go to John, the Gospel of John. John 14 that I want to read. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's why we dwell in heaven. But let's go on. "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Now see, we've got a little problem with the scriptures here, don't we? The Bible says no man has ever seen the Father. But Jesus is telling him, said, you have seen him. Right? Now let's go on. "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us." We're in the Bible now. We're not in some denominational book. This is a King James Bible. It crosses all denominational barriers, okay? We're talking about the Word tonight. I'm called in defense of the Word. "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. We've done some teaching on this. Because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, what is his name? That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. There's a lot to be said here tonight, and I'm just going to speak about some things. We're going to use these scriptures and we're going to tie a lot of things together tonight. Because when we get into Catholicism, the teaching of the Catholic Church, now I could say, are we have any Protestants in here? And we all probably raise our hands. A Protestant is somebody that's protested against Catholicism, okay? And we know that the original one to protest was Martin Luther, and he was a Catholic priest himself, and they sought to take his life. He came out of the Catholic Church, but he brought some of the doctrine with him. Pray about these things, brothers and sisters, for you could be accurate in the scriptures. I'm not trying to convince. I'm speaking to you, brethren, for reasons. We're all out here. We're laboring. We're going and helping these people. And sometimes we find divisions because of lack of understanding of doctrine. And we're not trying to make somebody bad or us better than anybody, brother. But we only got one thing to stand with, and that's the Bible and the Word of God. Now, I've said a lot of things tonight to challenge the way you think. Are you the bride of Christ or a son of God? I say I'm both. I'm the bride because I've entered into the secret chamber with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I wasn't in a feminine perspective of entering in with him, that would make him a sodomite. But I'm married unto him. That's what my Bible says. So I'm married unto him, and I entered into this secret chambers of the Most High God, and he planted a seed in me. A man and woman, when they marry, the marriage bed is undefiled all its ways. The seed leaves the loins. A man goes into the womb of the woman and brings forth after his kind. That's what the Bible teaches, and we understand that. But the Bible said that there is a seed that remaineth in us that keepeth us from sin. Amen. I'd have to take you over to 1 John 3, and it says, ye that are born of God cannot sin because that seed remaineth in you. It didn't say you might sin, you might slip up. It said you cannot because that seed remaineth in you. There's a lot of teaching there. It'd take a lot of time to go into these things, brothers and sisters. And if you would want to any given time, we'll just go with it, amen. And some fell out the window and died, amen, as Paul was trying to get into some revelation with them to give some teaching. So we find out that we entered into the secret chambers of God. We're the bride of Christ. If we go into the Old Testament, looking at the allegories and the shadows, we know that if a woman did not bring forth a child, the Bible said she had no inheritance. The thing is we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Amen. This is what our Bible teaches us, brothers and sisters. Now, the thing is, if we would understand, we could start coming to some revelation that him being the husbandman and we've entered into a relationship with him, marriage. See, people say, well, the marriage supper lamb is off some day. You know, and they got everything. They look at God, everything in the future. I took you the scriptures that he was and he is and he is to come. Yes, there is a future marriage, brothers and sisters, but it's to the natural Jew, the natural elect. You see, there's going to be a marriage with them and they're going to be a marriage supper and they're all going to get together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they didn't accept him as his king. But we have accepted him as our king and king of kings and lord of lords. And we become a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, brothers and sisters. Why? We've already married unto him and brought forth his offspring, the sons of God. The Bible said, now we are the sons of God. If the sons of God are produced, it's because of the relationship. And the relationship is with Jesus Christ, the headship, the husband. And we are the bride of Christ. We entered into the chambers of God. And he implanted the seed that keepeth us from sin, amen. That brings us to be part of that chosen generation and royal priesthood. It is the part, brothers and sisters, that brings us into joint heirs with him, amen. It is the part that is eternal, amen. Now we can get into some doctrine. We're commanded to get in the Word. For we won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We got to understand the Word of God, amen. If I took you over into the Bible, into 2 Corinthians, you can go look it up later in the 12th chapter. John, he said, I don't know whether I was in body. He didn't know if he was in his body or if he was in the spirit, but he said something. He said, but one thing I do know. He said, I was caught away into the third heaven. Isn't that what he said? Okay. If there's a third heaven, Brother David, that means there's a second and a first. Is that correct? Okay, so we got a first, second, third heaven. Now, we got Bible for third heaven. If I come to you and I got a little guy under my arm, and you say, who's that with you, Brother Rob? Well, this is my third son. And you say, oh, where's the first two? Now, I might have some daughters, too. He might be number seven kid, but he's my third son. Amen. Now, if I said he's my third kid, you know, I got two other ones. I might have four and five, too, but you know, to get the third one, I had to have a first and a second one. That's not complicated, is it? That's pretty simple, isn't it? So if I got a first heaven, and I got a second heaven, and I got a third heaven, you say, man, what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with understanding the mind of God and the revelation of the Lord. The Bible said, pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. The Bible said we're stewards of the mysteries. Isn't that what the Bible says? I mean, we need to know our Bibles. So we're stewards of the mysteries of God. These things aren't mysteries, brothers and sisters. The secrets will be revealed unto us. So if we have a first, second, and third heaven, we have a water, blood, and spirit. We have a Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. We have a body, soul, spirit. The Bible said to present our body, soul, and spirit holy. That's what the Bible says. So now we're dealing with body, soul, spirit, first, second, third heaven, Father, Word, and spirit. Okay. Again, water, blood, and spirit, first, second, third heaven. We have the translation, the transformation, and the transfiguration. These are all biblical terminology. I'm not some new age wacko. I'm talking about the Bible. And these are things that bring us into doctrine and understanding. I'm speaking to you as men tonight and established in the Word of God, desiring the meat of the Word of God, for you won't be tossed to and fro. I'm going to go as long as the Lord will allow me to, and I'm trying to keep it simple, but then yet also introduce some doctrine here to establish us. Amen. Let's talk about baptism again for a minute. We got a water, blood, and spirit baptism. Now, I know the Bible also speaks about a fire baptism, but it's also one in the same with the spirit baptism. Now, we talk about, I could go back over to Hebrews 10, and it talks about the fiery indignation of God, and we could speak about the baptism of being cast into the lake of fire. And this is for the wicked. It's not for the elect of God. The fire that we're baptized with is the fire of the Holy Ghost that purges out the things, the dross, purifies us as gold. It's the baptism of the God's Spirit to burn out the things of worldly pleasures, worldly lust, worldly pride, worldly life, and it's going to purify us. John the Baptist said, there's one coming after I am not worthy to, you know, unlatch his shoe. Okay, he said he wasn't worthy to do that, but he would baptize you with the Holy Ghost, amen, and with fire. Now that fire to the elect of God, again, is a purging, chastening, bringing you in, and I'd have to go back over to Hebrews and read it to you again, and we could go into some things about not laying again that foundation of repentance, where they go on, where I told the Pentecostal preacher, and he got a little upset with me, I said, you're no more than a Catholic priest, you see. I could go into that, and it's such simple things, but then yet there's such a gross error. You know, we find fault with the Catholic priest. All of us do. Well, he's got this little booth over here, man. He called a confession booth. You know, you go out there and you drink, you snort, you lie. You know, you live like a whoremonger or a harlot and whatever. And you go over in this little booth and you go in there and you say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. And he'll say, well, count your beads, say your Hail Marys. You know, you say, are you mocking them? No, I'm not mocking them. I'm just exposing their doctrine of devils. And they say, believe it or not, I'm married to an old gal who was a Catholic. Boy, didn't he have mercy on her? She's no longer a Catholic. She's a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High King. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Had to put away some of them doctrines. Amen. And believe me, many of our Protestants are still hanging on to Catholicism and Catholic doctrine. And maybe we'll get there if the Lord allows us to. I told this Pentecostal preacher, I said, you're no different than the Catholic priest. You're preaching Catholic doctrine. He was offended. He needed to be. I said, you got your deacons, and you've got your people in your church, and they come into the altars. Every revival. Oh, I've sinned before God. Man, I was drinking. Oh, I've sinned before God. I've done this and done that. And they lay hands on them and say, oh, in the blood of Jesus. Oh, we plead the blood of Jesus on you. We plead the blood of Jesus on you. That's Catholic doctrine, brothers and sisters. I challenge anybody to challenge me in the gospel and the doctrine. I believe in the blood of Jesus. I know that I've been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I've been cleansed by the blood. And it's only by the blood that I'll be made pure and clean without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. By the blood of the Lord Jesus, the only way I can inherit the kingdom of God or go before the Lord God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's by the blood. There's no other way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to go but by the blood. But the Bible teaches very clear, if you go back to Hebrews 6, not laying again that foundation. It says that when you go on and you've been tasted of that world to come, and when you go and you know to do right and you don't, it said that you're trampling the blood of Jesus under your feet, and you have one thing to look forward to, the fire indignation of God. You see, the blood of Jesus doesn't cover willful sin. Go read Hebrews 6 and read Hebrews 10. It's very clear about that. I understand what I'm saying here. And this is why I told him he was like a Catholic priest, because it's no different. You see, brothers and sisters, when you know to do right and you don't, and you continue on out there and you plead the blood of Jesus, there remaineth no sacrifice for that sin, the Bible says. But you have one thing to look forward to. If you are God's elect, you have one thing to look forward to, fire indignation of God. He chastens them that he loves. You better hang on. I remember I erred and done something my pastor told me years ago. He said, Brother Rob, he said, the only thing you can do now is pray that God will give you the strength to endure the stripes. And you think, oh, but Jesus paid the price. You better get in your word. He said, equip yourself with the mind of suffering. And we better get in our word and start understanding the Bible, brothers and sisters. He says he chastens them that he loves. How does he chasten sons of God? With the fire of the Spirit of God. The heathen is baptized in the fire and will be being cast into the lake of fire, eternal damnation, where the worm dieth not. The sons of God aren't going to be cast into the lake of fire, but the purging fire of the Holy Ghost purges those things out. If we go off and do something willfully and know that it's wrong, we're going to be chastened by the Lord. And we're going to be grieved in our spirit. And we're going to know that we've displeased God. And we're going to repent and turn away from that thing. Repent means to turn away. I wasn't planning on going there, but we touched on it. Get in your word, study it out. Amen. God's good. And he'll help you. Now let's go on. I'm talking about water baptism for a moment. Blood baptism and spirit baptism. We found again, I made mention to you, I believe it's in Acts 19. There's another scripture in Acts 9 and 10. You can go in and look these up and find them. I'm going to have to speed it up just a little bit. I'll say some things here. You study it out, amen, brothers and sisters. We found that they were filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, amen. We use that as terminology sake because that's common practice in the Pentecostal realm. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and this and that. I just don't teach that the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. If we want to talk about the initial evidence, we're going to say that the rushing mighty wind came through. You know, we'd say that was the initial evidence. We say that they were appeared to be drunk there in the early morning of the day. So we could say that being drunk in the spirit, staggering around, you know, we could say that's the initial evidence. We could say a cloven tongue of fire on her head. We could say that's the initial evidence. We could say they spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them. We could say that's the initial evidence. But brothers and sisters, the Word of God really truly teaches, ye that are filled with the Holy Ghost, that have His Spirit, you are in obedience to Him. You're walking in His Word, amen. There's your evidence of the Spirit-filled life. You're an overcomer, amen. You're walking in obedience, hallelujah. Now the thing is some of the Pentecostals think I'm denying the gift of tongues. No, not whatsoever at all. But the Bible said if you're going to desire a gift, desire prophecy. It's a greater gift than tongues. So how can I say that tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? How could that be better? How could the prophecy be better than having the Holy Ghost? So we got to understand, brothers and sisters. I know I've thrown a lot of doctrine out here. I just want to be stable in word and doctrine, amen, and get in His Word. You say, well, you're a little intellectual. No, well, that's the last thing I am. And if anything I say is by the grace of God, amen, hallelujah. This didn't come from some doctor of theology. This come by the grace and the mercies of Jesus Christ, amen, hallelujah. You love the Lord tonight. Let's talk about water, blood, and spirit for men. We'll look for a place in a few minutes to close, but we're just going to introduce some things. You owe it to get in the scriptures and study it out, amen, and find these things to be right. Now the thing is we find Jesus took time to be baptized in water, didn't he? Now we know the scriptures and we say, yes, he did. We found again, as I just quoted again, you can go over there and look it up in Acts, but they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They said they spoke in tongues. And one of the apostles, well, we saw that God didn't hold his spirit back from them. Would any forbid these water? And they were took and they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Now I'm going to go one more scripture with you tonight. Matthew 28:19. We're going to talk about the last thing Jesus asked him to do. This stuff you can go back and read and study it out for yourself. Amen. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So this is an establishing who was there. The 11 disciples. Why not 12? One had already took and hung himself. Okay. So we have the 11 there. All right. And it says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. But, what's this part say? But some doubted. What is doubt and unbelief, man, having to do around here? So we know that some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, some power. Didn't say it, did it? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the names. It doesn't say that, does it? I'm making a point here. Now listen, it didn't say that, did it? It says, baptizing them in the name. I can take you back over to John, the Gospel of John there, where Jesus made the same. He said, I've came in my Father's name. That's what Jesus said now. Now we got to think about this. There's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. The Bible says that clearly, Jesus. No other name. When we pray, we can call ourselves Trinity, we can call ourselves Two-ness, we can call ourselves Oneness. But we all know one thing. When we pray in the name of Jesus. When we cast out devils, how many times you grab that heathen by the hand and say, come out of him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You don't do that, do you? You say, I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what you do? See, nobody's going to contest that. There's no other name given among men. Jesus. Okay, let's go on. Go back to 19 now. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Now, this is the last thing Jesus told them to do. Now, how come this man is going to come to me and say, hey, man, if Paul didn't come to baptize, why should I? Well, why would Jesus take time to give us that as the last commission? Okay, verse 19 again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, in the name, in the name. Is Father a name? I'm going to use an illustration here to make a point. I have a father right there. I'm a father. Brother Randall's a father. Ed's a father. David's a father. I think just about all the brethren here are fathers. I've used this as an example before. Let me just use this. Brother DR may not be known around here. So I say, DR, you're helping us. He's over here working on church with us. So he goes down here and he's been off gone and everything. And nobody around here knows DR. But he happens to be my son. So he comes over and he's helping us at the church. I said, hey, son. I want you to run down here. I got an account over here at the hardware store. And I want you to go over on my account. And I want you to get us, we need some bolts over here to bolt this thing together. And we need a few things and such. And he said, yeah, Dad, no problem. Pulls into the hardware store, man, he got a sack. Throwing everything in the sack. Man, he's got the bolts, man, he got everything we asked for. And he goes up and sets it on the counter. And he says, put it on my father's account. God bless y'all, see you later. We're going out the door. Whoa, boy. Wait a minute there, young man. What's your father's name? See, father don't have no authority, brothers and sisters. Why did Jesus say, go baptize them in the name of the Father? Because he said, the name of the Father is the same name of the Son, amen, and the same name of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a title. The Son is a title. Father's a title, brothers and sisters. Jesus said over there in John 10 and in John 14, and he spoke about, I and my Father are one. The Bible says the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. He said these three are what? One. I have a body. I have a soul. I have a spirit. Am I three persons? No. I'm one person. The Bible said that Jesus came in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is the personification. That's where the word person comes from. Jesus is the personification of God. God the Father is a spirit. They said in their doctrinal statement of faith, it said, we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, a distinct person. God the Holy Ghost, a distinct person. And he said, Jesus, a distinct person. He said, these are three distinct words, is the word they use, persons. Well, if you would get into some study tonight, and you'll go out, you're going to find out that that doctrine came forth in 321 A.D., okay, at a Nicene Council. And it was the Catholic order, and the Catholic Church called this order together. Now, if we go back to Matthew 28:19, he said, go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, somebody take me to the Bible and show me where they fulfilled it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they did. If you go to Acts, the second chapter, and they took him down, and Peter preached. This was a man that denied the Lord not many days prior. But he preached by the unction of the Holy Ghost. And he said, would any forbid these men? Or he told them, he said, command them, take them and baptize them in the name of what? Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You're going to find it being fulfilled, brothers and sisters, nowhere in the book of Acts. That's the action of the early church. And nowhere in the book of Acts was anybody baptized in the name of titles, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Everywhere in the book of Acts, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It's good enough for me. I told that preacher that. I said, I'm not ashamed to name Lord Jesus. There's no other name given among men. I said, brother, we cast out devils in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray over our food in Jesus' name. I said, why not remit sin in the name of Jesus? We've been given the authority and the power to remit sin. That's what the Bible said. The avengers of God, amen. We're the ministers of God. We take them. He commanded us to take them down and baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. If we don't, their sin isn't remitted. There's no other name. That's it. So we're talking about doctrine again. Here we are. We're speaking about water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. There's something we need to know. Now we go into, we say blood baptism. There's no other bloodshed except by the Lord Jesus. He is the one that shed blood, brothers and sisters. There is no other blood that was shed. The Bible says the blood of bulls and the blood of goats. He wasn't sufficed with that. He wasn't satisfied with that. But the only thing that satisfied was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be baptized in blood of Jesus. You can't go get baptized in any other blood. He was baptized. I can go into some doctrine now about the water and the earth being flooded with water, totally submerged in water, bringing an end to the water covenant where the Bible said three that bear record witness in the earth, water, blood, and spirit. And the earth was coldly baptized with water. And then we go into the physical earth, the next dimension, second heaven. And we go into that and we find that this earthen vessel was baptized in blood. They crammed the thorns down. It wasn't a pretty little picture like the Catholics do it with a stripped off Jesus on the cross. That's a shame to do that. If you got a picture of a crucifix in your home, get out! Jesus was a holy man, had clothing going to his feet. He kept himself covered. He don't want to have pictures of him stripped off like some kind of beast. The Bible said about being put on a tree, it's a curse. That was the most terrible thing that could happen to our God and our King. Amen. But he done it for you and I, brothers and sisters. The most terrible death. But they jammed them thorns down over their head. I've been over there and I've seen them thorns are about this long on them trees. And they made a crown and mocked him. Said, oh, you're the king. Here's your crown. And they jammed it on his head and ripped his flesh in the blood. And then when they plucked his beard, his face swelled up. And when they beat him with the cat of nine tails, he was ripped to pieces, brothers and sisters. It said he was marred beyond recognition. You understand that? That's how bad he was. It was a bloodbath. They jammed a spear in his side, drove the nails in his hands and his feet. He was a bloodbath. It was a baptism of blood. It was the blood sacrifice that was accepted by God. Amen. And then he introduced another covenant. It's the Spirit. This is why you must be baptized in the Spirit. The Bible said, without His Spirit, you're none of His. Yeah, we got some that teach, you know, that you get born again by confession of some things. I know the Bible said, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. I know that, but the Bible said, sometimes you confess with your mouth, but your heart is far from him. But the Bible says without his Spirit you're none of his. I know we got some of the Pentecostals, you must speak in tongues. No, that's not what I'm saying tonight. You must have God's Spirit to be a child of God. Amen. Because that's what the Bible says. Amen. So you can say, well, I'm saved but I don't have a Spirit. No, ain't no such thing as that. Amen. You could start differentiating. I do a lot of differentiating, but it ain't going to work that way. The Bible says very clearly without his Spirit you are none of his. So we touched on a lot of things tonight. I just scratched the surface. It would take all night to go into each one of these subjects. If we want to talk about the name, if you wanted to talk about the Godhead. You see, brothers and sisters, we need to understand these things. There's a lot of people that are separated from one another because one says God's three persons, another one says, no, God's Jesus only. You see, we got to understand Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And the thing is if we're going to say that the Father's a person, let's say we're going to go with Catholic doctrine tonight. Okay, so let's say that I'm teaching you tonight, okay? You know that God is three persons. Okay, God the Father, person. God the Son, person. God the Holy Ghost, person. Okay, let's say I'm teaching that tonight. So let's get an understanding. The word person come again from personification, and it's when a spirit personifies itself. I have a body, soul, and spirit. My Bible teaches when my spirit leaves this body, the body's dead. Okay, which we know, and also it teaches sleep, so we got to go really just talk about sleep. Okay, but you see, that's two things there, but this body right here has no life. When my spirit leaves this body's not cruising around. You know, like, oh man, I better go to the restroom. Oh man, I'm hungry. You go, man, I smell some of that sister's cheesecake back there. They ain't gonna do it. That spirit leaves that body. That body's dead. Let me tell you something, if you could come to some revelation here. Jesus Christ had no life outside the Father. Amen. That's why he said, I and the Father are one. The things that you see me do is from the Father. He didn't speak as a man. He was Son of Man and Son of God, but he pointed everything back to the Spirit. I don't speak as a man. He said he commanded me not to be speaking about carnal things. We're in the scripture. I want to speak to you as unto spirituals. I don't want to talk about man. If I want to talk about man, I'm going to talk about a sense of death. I'm going to talk about corruption. I'm going to talk about appointed to go back to the dust. I'm going to talk about it's sin. And it came in the image of sin. I'm going to talk about that. That's the promise back to the dust. But I want to talk as a son of God. I'm blood bought, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I pass from death unto life. I cannot sin because his spirit is sin. Sealed in me. I become one with him and one in him. Amen. I become born again. Let me ask you this. When I was birthed of my father, I was born as a man because my father's a man. But I've been born of the Spirit. That's why I'm now a son of God. And when I'm a son of God, that's what makes me eternal. This is why I've passed from death unto life. This is why I'm blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High King. This is the royal priesthood, the chosen generation. This is the parts eternal. This is why I can't die. This is why you can't sin. Oh, brother, you can't teach people you can't sin. Go over to 1 John, the 3rd chapter. It says, ye that are born of God cannot sin. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You do with what you want with the word. I do with what I want with the word. My Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. And it goes on to say, ye that sin are of the devil. That's what it says, isn't it? Is that what your Bible says? Go read it, man. It's right there in 1 John 3. I had a preacher get upset with me, man, a good friend of mine for years. And he said, Brother Rob, he said, I sin and I sin every day. And I said, do you, brother? He said, yes, sir. He goes, man, I sin every day. And I said, man, I'm sorry to inform you this, but you are of your father, the devil. And he got mad. And I just don't quote the Bible. I mean, let's get into word and let's be real with the word of God. Amen. You know, that's not complicated. Amen. You see, I was born in sin, the image of iniquity. See, it was appointed unto me, brothers and sisters, once to die in the judgment. That's what my Bible says. I'm speaking now as a man, but I don't want to speak to you as a man. I want to speak to you as a child of God, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And talk about the wonderful promises of God. Amen. So when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and His Spirit, then you're one with Him. Amen. And you say, so a son of God can't sin? So that means we can go out and drink and party and snort and smoke. That just proves that your father's the devil. You know, the Bible said, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. If I yield this members to the flesh and to the world and the love of the world, my Bible teaches me that I even have friendship with the world. It's adultery in God. See, we're speaking of another dimension. You see, the law said that if a woman goes and has an affair with a man, then he's married or she's married, it's adultery. But Jesus came with another law in the Spirit. He said, if a man even looketh upon a woman. Let's get in the Spirit, brothers and sisters. Get filled with the power of God. Get filled with the Holy Ghost that you could walk above reproach, amen. That you could be blameless like the Bible says. Have a good name within and without. Keep yourself unspotted from the world and the things of the world. The Bible said a good soldier for Christ does that, amen. God's good, isn't He? Let's give the Lord a hand tonight. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. I pray and hope that you get in your word, amen. Hallelujah. Get in your word. We've been around different countries and different places, ministering on radios and different things. And we say, please get in the word. Amen. Get in the word. I don't have a spirit of error. Amen. I've made mistakes. Amen. I used to be a Trinitarian preacher, Pentecostal. Amen. And man, I got my eyes opened up by the grace of God. A minister came to me with love and he said, brother, let's go to the scriptures. Let me show you in the word of God. Amen. And you know, I had a hunger for the word and it didn't offend me. I said, brother, man, that's something. And I looked at it and the spirit of God bared witness with me. I had to make some changes. Amen. Amen. Had to make some changes. Hallelujah. I don't want to take somebody down to the water hole and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I want to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, not the names of titles. And I'm not ashamed of the name Jesus. Amen. And I found that when I prayed, I always did it in Jesus' name and things. So it shouldn't be a hard thing to adapt to. I had a preacher get so upset with me about that. I said, brother, I didn't ask you to go down and baptize him in the name of Bozo the Clown. I asked you to baptize him in the name of Jesus because that's what the Bible says. There's not another name, brother. That's the name with all authority. That's the name with all power. That's the name that endureth forever. That's the name of God the Father. That's the name of the Son. Amen. We can't make Him three persons, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to close with that because let me say like this. The Bible said Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, if we make the Father a person, the Bible said that heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. Now, if that's a person, we're going to have to send out red alert over here wherever His heels are going to land. Okay? Now, I'm not mocking. Now, think about it. We're going to make Him a person. And He is omnipresent. He said the highest height, the deepest depth. It don't matter wherever you are, He's there with you. Now, you can't do that in a person. I am a person. I'm in North Carolina. I'm not in California right now. But the Father is in California. He's in High Point. He's in Africa. He's in the Philippines because He's Spirit. My Bible said the Father is Spirit. Amen. And that is omnipresent. It's everywhere. Hallelujah. And if you want to make the Holy Ghost a person, I got the Holy Ghost in me. He must be fit and perfect. I remember when my wife was carrying a kid, you know, I could see that old elbow pop out, boom, man, like that. And I could see those things. Yeah, she had a person in her. You understand that? But the Holy Ghost is Spirit. My Bible says this. It said the same Spirit. Spirit. It didn't say the same person that dwelled in Jesus. It said the same Spirit that dwelled in Christ Jesus shall dwell in your mortal body. Amen. And it'll change you in the moment and the twinkling of an eye from mortal into immortality. Amen. From terrestrial into celestial. Amen. That's the word. That's the Bible. Amen. Let's just get right with the word. Amen. You see, brothers and sisters, I had a word of God for the man of God. But they won't receive from me because they think I'm oneness. And I preach Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. I say, why are you calling me oneness? Because I baptize in Jesus' name. And they numbered that with oneness doctrine. But they can't take me to the Bible and show me that we're the disciples. There were 11 of them there. 11 of them. Were they all in error, brothers and sisters, when they went down and baptized in Jesus' name? No, they wasn't in error. The Catholic Church is the one that brought error in. And the Nicene Council, again, study it out, search it out. You see, they went there to dispute over this same thing in 321. And you know what their dispute was? It was called matter. Solids, gases, and liquids. And they said they're all three, one, and the same. You can't do that. You see, brothers and sisters, I've got a body, a soul, and a spirit. I could go into some doctrine with you tonight and teach that to you for you could understand it. But I'm not three persons. You know, when I come into my home and my wife's there, she says, hey, Rob, how you doing tonight? Oh, spirit, wait a second. I'm speaking to Rob now, the body part. And then, oh, wait a minute, spirit, I want, she doesn't have to do that. She addresses me. Yes, I got a body, soul, and spirit. But she addresses me. I'm one person. Yes, I've had my spirit leave my body before on more than one occasion. Just as John, you know, I don't know whether I was in body. I don't know whether I was in spirit, but I know I was caught away into the third heaven. I've had some experiences. But brothers and sisters, it wasn't like my spirit being out there somewhere in the third heaven. And all of a sudden, it's like my body's wandering around down here doing its own thing. It don't work that way. You see, the spirit is the force. It's the power, the driving power. It's what makes you move. Amen. It's what makes you speak. Amen. And the thing is, the Bible said, try the spirit and see if it be of God. We got to understand that there's three different spirits to try to use our mind. You got a human spirit, and it wants to use your mind. It wants to use your body. It says, man, I'm a big boy. I'll do what I want to do. I'll go where I want to go. I'll say what I want to do. I'll live where I want to live. Many preachers say, you can't do that. The Bible said, you got to become as a child and inherit the kingdom of God. You got to be a son of God. Say, yes, Father, not my will, but your will. Amen. Here I am. Use me, Lord. I'll go where you want. I'll do what you want. If you send me to be crucified, here I am, Lord. If you send me to be mocked and spit upon and ridiculed, here I am, Lord. I come to suffer with you, Lord God, for your name's sake, for you to be glorified. Amen. He said that they hated him first, they'll hate you also. We stay with the Word of God, love the Word of God. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen. He won't let you be deceived. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, I have erred before. I can tell you that, but I don't have a spirit of error. Spirit of error is when you continue on in error. I'm not trying to defend again anything. I'm called to defend one thing, and that's the Word. I didn't try to convert anybody to a oneness or a threeness tonight. I didn't try to convert anybody to anything other than a blood-bought, born-again Son of God, living forever, hallelujah, testifying Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, amen. And we could say that there's a lot doing the same thing, but the Bible said if they come and preach any other doctrine than what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, it said, let them be accursed. That's what the Word of God says. So let's get accurate in our Word, amen. Stand with me to your feet. I love you and appreciate you. Pray for me, amen. Pray that God will bless me with understanding and revelation, and that I could go on into the heights and the depths and the widths and the lengths of God's Word like He commands us to do. Amen. I want my life to be used up for the gospel. I want to be wore out. I want to be tired. I want to be broke. Amen. For the gospel. Amen. I don't want no big bank account. If something comes in, I want to give it to the needy, to the poor, and to the widows, and to the orphans, true and undefiled religion. Amen. So pray for me. I want to be an example of Christianity. I want to be an example of a minister. I want to be an example of Christ in the earth. Amen. Let's serve a God that is. Amen. I love to talk about the historical events of our God. Amen. I love to talk about the present day truths of our God. And I love to talk about the things of Him to come. He's not coming, brothers and sisters. Easter's like the most domestic teaching form, but we say the church, he's already come for us. He said, go ye into Jerusalem, tarry there until you receive power. They received power. It's recorded in the word. He's already came to us as the body of Christ. Amen. When he comes back to this world, he's not coming to us. He's coming to the natural Jew. The Bible said it's the great and terrible day of the Lord. The blood will run through the horse's bridle. There'll be 7 years of tribulation. It's going to be a major bloodbath. Amen. This is our day, brothers and sisters, because we are the children of God. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We're walking in the Spirit of God, dwelling with the Lord. And yes, we're just like Jesus was when he came and walked. He had to walk, the light being veiled in darkness. Yes, this is a mortal man that you're looking at. But the light of the glorious liberty of Christ is dwelling in me. And we condescend to the men of this world, of a less estate, and bring the good news of the gospel. Amen. So we're here enduring as ambassadors, and ambassadors from some place else. Amen. Amen. My Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Right. We have a heavenly place. Amen. And we abide there with Jesus Christ in heaven, sealed in, hid away with him in heavenly places, because our spirit has been raptured and hid away with him. And the thing is, it's us no longer living. If you go over there and read in the Galatians, he said that I've been crucified with Christ, but the life that I now live in the flesh, he said, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. And what is that faith? The substance of things hoped for and everything not seen, but it's the evidence that Jesus Christ is walking among men in the earth in a many-membered body. We are the body of Jesus Christ walking in the earth about the Father's business, doing the same thing that Jesus Christ did. That's our calling. Amen. Y'all on fire for the Lord, doing something for God. All right, the preacher, he gets up here, keep preaching. You better start playing that guitar. Amen. God bless y'all. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service. The altars are open tonight. If you've been afflicted, amen. There's a man here named Jesus. Amen. His spirit is here dwelling within a many-membered body. The Bible says if there's any sick or afflicted among you, let him come forward in the church and let the elders lay hands on them. And it said they might be healed. It didn't say that, did it? It said they shall be healed, didn't it? It said they shall be healed. Amen. We believe in the word around here. The same virtue that left the body of the Lord Jesus Christ when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of the garment, it's here tonight. The same virtue of Jesus Christ is here in the house of God tonight. Why? Because we're the sons of God and he's held nothing back from us. Amen. Y'all believe the word? I'm thankful that my sins are put as far as the east is from the west. Amen. Let's do more for God, brothers and sisters. Let's give our life as a living sacrifice unto the Lord Jesus. Let's close our eyes and lift our hands as we close the service. Again, the altars are open if you have need of prayer, need of salvation. The Bible said the disciples and the apostles, they imparted gifts unto the children of God. Don't let anything be in your life that would separate you from the love of God. Don't let anything hinder you. Amen. The things that are displeasing to your God, put them away. Amen. He give you all authority and power to put them under your feet. There's nothing, brothers and sisters, that's too big for your God. Amen. I got busted up, a lot of busted bones a little over a year ago. And the doctors had me addicted to a very terrible drug called Oxycontin, I think was the name of it. They said it'd take me 6 weeks with methadone to get off of it. But by the grace and the power of God, it was a week. It was a tough week, sweating and sick. And rolling and tumbling and no sleep. But I stood on the word, amen. I said, my God is bigger than Oxycontin. Amen. And he took me off and delivered me and set me free. The doctor said, I'll see you back in my office in a week. And you're going to be wanting more medicine, boy. And I said, we'll see, thus saith the Lord, amen. And we'll see. And I was proud when he called me. And he said, hey, why aren't you here? I said, I'm on my way to Mexico to do something for God, amen. And I said, God delivered me, amen. Hallelujah. He could deliver you from alcohol, amen. Amen. He can deliver you, brothers and sisters. He could deliver you from the love of this world. He could deliver you from lust. He could deliver you from fornication. He could deliver you from cocaine and crack. He could deliver you from Oxycontin. He could deliver you from tobacco. Amen. He is an awesome God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said if meat offends your brother, don't eat it. If there's something in your life that's displeasing and it causes a stumbling block of an offense, you might have blood on your hands. Get it out of your life, man. Get it out of your life and please the Lord. And amen. I'll tell you, when you do the things that are pleasing unto Him, He equips you and empowers you. Amen. And you can walk as an overcomer. Let's win souls. Amen. Let's win souls. I had a preacher call me, and the Lord kept speaking to me, saying, about tobacco. And man, I just kept talking with him about the Lord, and we got into some mysteries of God and some things. And boy, he said, man, I'm eating this up. I like this, brother. Praise God. And I said, brother, the Spirit revealed it to him. I said, do you smoke? I did this to this guy right here once. I said, brother, do you smoke? And he said, yeah, I'm not going to hypocrite around about it. And I said, we make a decision. You're either going to be a smoker or play the guitar. He said, I'd rather play the guitar or pray for him. And we laid hands on him and he quit. How many years was you a smoker? Yeah. Had another man, 55 years old, said he'd been smoking since he was 13 years old. And he come into the house of God, and I laid hands on him. He said, I fought to throw this thing. I laid hands on him, and I rebuked that spirit, and he never touched another one. He got mad at me and cursed me, called me a devil, but he still quit smoking. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We got the authority and the power Amen. Over the works of the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. But that brother down there, he kept on talking to me. I said, brother, you smoking? Boy, I mean, he was doing like that woman crawfishing. And I said, you know what? I said, you better declare it right now, you're a non-smoker. Preachers don't smoke. They don't smoke. It's offensive. I love y'all and appreciate you. Let's sing I'll Praise Him and we're closing. If you happen to hear this message by the way of radio, by the way of CD, by the way of tape, however you got it, I challenge you, get in your scriptures, get in your word, dig it out for yourselves. There's on a CD or if it's on a written page, there's an address on there. Just write me. Help me out if you don't think I'm seeing correctly or right. I'll receive you. I'll love you. And we'll pray together and come and reason together in the scriptures and the word of God. Amen. That we could find the word and the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a spirit of truth and the truth will set us free. Hallelujah. God bless y'all. I love you and I appreciate you. Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.